Aren't you glad for the presence of the Lord that you feel in this house? Lots of places. I preach in lots of places across the country. There's lots of places that would like to feel what you're feeling right here. If they felt just this service, they would think they had a revival. Hello? But I feel like this is the building block. This is the starting place. So it's untelling. No way to predict what God is capable. I don't know what he's capable of doing. I can't even imagine that because his ways are so much higher than mine. I can't really, in my little mind, I can't, in my finite mind, I guess you should say, I can't grasp what God is capable of. But I do know what the Bible said, that he is able to do exceeding. Hello? How many knows that? And abundantly above all I can ask or even think. I've got news for y'all. I can get a pretty big imagination going on. So if he gets bigger than I can think, I'm going to tell you, he's great. How many knows that? How many knows God's been great in your life? You can look back over your life and you think things over and you can say, hey, you know what? I've really been blessed. Hallelujah. God's really touched us. Amen. Help the children while they sing.
I wanted to say something. I was walking around. I could say hello, couldn't I? It's really good to be here. I get something on my mind and I'm just one track mind. Was walking around in the church earlier, praying, asking the Lord to help us in this revival. And we can't have revival as a whole, as a church, until us as individuals get revived. And I take every revival we go to seriously, because sometimes it makes a difference for eternity for people. But you know what? We can go through a few nights service and then we can leave and be gone. And you may not be changed. But I want to urge you to make a commitment to be revived. And you know what? For you to have a personal revival, it's not without cost. Because there are times the Lord brings us to places and he says, this is what I want. Because he knows us better than anybody. He knows us when we're all alone. He knows the attitudes of our heart. He knows all about us. But I would like to see him give us a revival from the inside out. And I want to be right in the middle of it. I want him to do a work. But you know what? Back in the day of Jesus, you know, we want to think of him just being so great. So many were turned away by the hard sayings because there were things they said, oh, not this. You know, this part was easy, but you get to talking about the body and the blood and sacrifice. Not that, Jesus. I want to be willing at whatever cost to have revival. And you know what? If a whole bunch of us will just pour ourselves out before him at whatever cost, we're going to have revival. We will. There's no stopping it. And I'm just excited. Tonight, you can just feel it. You can just feel it. Just the presence of the Lord. You can just reach out. And this is the time for us to say, God, whatever.
Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. May we not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. We bow our hearts, we bend our Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast out our idols. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. May we not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. May we not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks. Send your face, oh God of Jacob. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast out our idols. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. May we not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. May we not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks. Sing your face, oh God of Jacob. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks. Your face, oh God of Jacob.
Hallelujah. We certainly want the Lord to do that. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It doesn't take long to figure out that most of the time that I'm different. I'm probably not the normal cup of tea, and I don't try to change for anything or anybody. I'm odd in lots of ways. You can ask Sister Darla, and she'll tell you that. She says she's odd too, so me and her fit together. But I'm thankful that she's here with me, and maybe sometime in this meeting I'll talk about some of the things that have transpired in our lives since the last time we were here. And there's been some low valleys and dark days, and but here we are, and it's not the valley anymore, and the dark days are behind us. And when you come through things, it makes you a different person. Amen. I said it will make you a different person. So thankful for everything. Thank you so much for the offering. May the Lord richly bless you for that. And everything that you've already done. And Brother and Sister Hurst has been so kind already. And Sister Hurst done such a good job cooking this evening. And I ate a lot of it. And I'm still alive, so it looks like everything's going to be all right. But I'd ate her cooking a lot of times before, and I'd lived. And so, and I enjoyed it. And I enjoyed it, but we appreciate everything. If for some reason I fail, if you take an offering or something and I fail to say thank you, it's simply because I can't remember everything like you. I know you never forget anything, but I forget things sometimes, and so especially when I have the weight of the service on my mind. This is not exactly what I would prefer to preach, and I have preferences, and this is not exactly the way I'd like to preach. It's don't fasten your seatbelt because I said that. I'm talking about me. You haven't even heard it yet, so don't worry about it. It's not exactly. I would rather preach high and happy, I guess is the right way to put it. But I cannot get away from this, and so I've learned a long time ago. He's got better sense than I do. And so I'm going to preach what I feel like preaching. And we'll let the Lord take care of the details. Amen. I am a hunter, and that is an understatement. I'm not somebody that just goes out and goes hunting once or twice a year. I'm somebody that has to be very, very careful, or I'll overdo it. I go lots and lots of days, every day, matter of fact, that I can. Now, traveling is odd. The Lord has blessed me for several years, and I have been able to make, and because of some good friends, I've been able to make a trip to Colorado for several years now. And I go every year, and it's my break. Everybody needs one. And whether you think the preacher does or not, he needs one more than anybody in the house. My church would often say after I would come back from Colorado, I didn't ever want to be away from the church 2 Sundays. So I would leave on Monday morning and I would stay gone almost 2 full weeks. And I would just miss 1 Sunday morning. And when I would come back on at first Sunday in the first few weeks after I was back, they would always tell me, if that's what Colorado does for you, we're going to send you back more often. Because I came back charged and refired and I was ready to go and to get in the harness. But it's my time to get away. I don't believe in vegetarians. I don't even think it's biblical. And I think vegetarians just means you're a bad hunter. That's all I think. And I'm like one old boy from Arkansas. He said, shoot it, kill it, and eat it. And that's the way I believe. And I enjoy it. My family enjoys it. And I'm not up here to exactly tell you a hunting story, but I am in another sense. I am going to. A couple of years ago, one of my friends that I go to Colorado with, that is a strenuous trip. Anybody ever been elk hunting in Colorado? Anybody here ever been elk hunting in Colorado? Like to, yeah, I hear that a lot. It's very strenuous. And those are not a deer that you drag out of the woods with a couple of guys. Once that's down, then that's when the work starts. You get them out on your back and in as big a pieces as you can carry. And it's work. It really is. It's work. Late one evening, one of my buddies that I was there hunting with killed an elk and down in a canyon. And we was going to pack it out, and it had gotten dark. It was way after dark, actually, when he even got in, and we got all the stuff together and the backpacks and all the things we needed to clean and started in, and it was late, way after dark. And as we went down the trail, there was an old cowboy trail that ran, I'm talking about the real kind, the real cowboys, trail that ran down. It was old and it was overgrown, but it was there enough that we could get down it. And we were starting down through there in the dark, and as we made our way down through there, I was bringing up the very back, and I don't remember how many of us there was, somewhere between probably 6 or 9 of us that were headed in there, and we do it as a group effort. And as we went, I got in the back because I liked the dark. Now, I know that might be strange to you, but that's just the way I am. Darkness doesn't scare me. And it's people's imagination that scares them most of the time. And so I was bringing up the rear, and I had my light out, and I could see enough by their bobbing lights as they went down the mountain where they were going. And there was enough natural light that I could see my way pretty good. And the fellow that had killed the elk hollered back up to me, and he said, hey, Anthony. And I said, yeah. And he said, now, look, we're walking. It's in the middle of the night, and we're walking through the woods. And I mean, brother, it's the deep, dark woods. And he said, check out that tree. I was like, my man. Every which direction I could see a tree. But I flipped my light on, and Brother Hurst, it was very easy to see what tree he was talking about. Because laying to the right of the trail that I was walking down, this old beat down path that I was walking down, there was a tree there that was one of the most immense trees that I have ever been up close to that is down. The root system on that tree would, I don't want to tell you how big it probably actually is, but it was humongous, let's just put it that way. The tree itself, probably any three men in here, it would take any three of us to have got our arms around it. It was huge. It was laying down. It was long. The reason he pointed it out is because of its immense size and length. And as I walked down that trail in the dark, I turned my headlight on, and I was looking at this thing, and I was awed by it. By its size, it kept going. It was like an Energizer battery. It just kept going and going and going. It never would stop. I couldn't believe it. And when I got to the end of that tree and I switched my light out and started to walk on down that path, the Spirit of God began to speak to me. And I want to preach to you tonight what the Lord said to me on the side of that mountain that night. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And verse number 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse number 3. And this is what it says. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree falleth toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. If a tree falleth toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Would you ask God to anoint us tonight, Lord? We need the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We're asking you, God, would you touch us? Would you move on us, God? Would you anoint us by your Spirit and by your power? And then around these altars, God, would you give us an outpouring of the Holy Ghost? And move on us. Lord, you know how crucial this altar call is to the furtherance of this revival. So I am asking you to give us a move of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' wonderful holy name. And everybody says, amen. Hallelujah. I want to just keep me hot up here, brother. You see Brother Hurst's hair laying over, you know you got it hot enough. There was something about this tree that would automatically catch your attention. I had probably seen it and looked at it before, and it was majestic. It was unbelievable in its size, in its height. It towered over everything that was around it. It was immense. And you would have stood there and you'd have looked at that and me and you would have had a conversation and we would have said, my, what a specimen of a ponderosa pine is what we would have said. Have you ever seen a tree so big? Have you ever seen one that looked so strong? Have you ever seen one that was so tall? That's limbs, and down around the base of the ponderosa pines in that country, they have something out there called a pine squirrel. I really hate them. And because they're terrible noisemakers, and if you're walking around on the side of the mountain, they give you away. And I don't appreciate that. And I'd like to kill a whole bunch of them because they're loud mouths. They really are. But they take those pine nuts, and they shell all the outer off of a pine cone. They shell all that pine cone down and get into the center, and there's a nut in the center there that they eat, and they taste nasty because of that. But around the base of that tree, there'll be, I've seen pine, these pine cone shavings be waist high, and there you would have looked at that, and you'd have said, look at all the animals that call that home, and look how beautiful and how wonderful, and everything looked right about it, and everything looked perfect about it. But there was something wrong with that tree that you could not see. And laying there on the ground, the story
was told. The root system was huge. It would have been laying on the ground. It was much taller than that chandelier there. The root system sticking up into the air. But there was a crucial problem. The roots did not go down. They just laid all over the surface. And there was a problem underneath. You looked at the tree, you said, wow. Look at the size. Look at how tall. Look at the grandeur. Look at the beauty. But underneath there was something really wrong that you could not see. And it finally told on that tree. I want to preach tonight, if the Lord would help me for a little while. I feel like I have your attention. I want to preach on who are you, really? Who are you, really? Not who the preacher thinks you are. Not who your spouse thinks you are. Not who the youth leader thinks you are. But who are you really that you and God knows you are? I have been in this long enough at this point to have been drastically disappointed to find out, Pastor, who people really were. I have been vastly disappointed at times in who I found out some preachers really were. You might as well say amen. Every one of us in here have suffered disappointment because we thought somebody was different than they really was. And when we found out the truth of who they really was, it hurt us, it astounded us, it amazed us, and we were not really happy to find out who they really were. I hope you'll help me preach tonight. I'm going to tell you something. We're living in a day when men have the capabilities to hide who they really are more than any other age there has ever been. You might as well say amen. Say amen or oh me. We can come to the house of God. Most of us are second and third generation Pentecostals. We have come to the house of God long enough. We know what is required of us for people to leave us alone. I remember one day driving down the road with a missionary. His name is Dominic Morano. I don't know if any of y'all know him. Dominic's quite a case. And I was riding down the road, Brother Dominic, and he looked at me and he said something that's profound. I've never forgot it. He said, you know, if people will pay their tithes, they'll be reasonably, their attendance to church is reasonably well, and they dress up to what we feel like the standards of the church are, they are left alone whether they are saved or not. And we have come to a day and an age when we know where to raise our hands. We know where to say amen. We know how to smile at the right time to make the preacher think everything's all right. Oh, you might as well say amen. We've got it down. We know how to play church. We know how to do it. Amen, amen, amen. But brother, I tell you, God's coming back before long, and he's not going to deal with your perception. He is going to deal with your reality. He is going to deal with who we really are. We're not going to be judged according to what everybody thinks. We're not going to be judged according to what the preacher thinks of us. We're not even going to be judged according to what our spouse thinks of us. We're going to be judged according to what God has written down that he knows we really are. There was a ship called the Queen Mary. When it was launched, it was the largest ship that had ever crossed the Atlantic. And through a long time, two or three decades, and at least one world war, that great ship was in use. But they finally docked it in California, and they decided they were going to make a museum out of it. And they pulled it up there, and they was going to retire that ship from service. And they got ready to do some remodeling to it, what we would call remodeling. It would be better called restoration. It had four huge smokestacks that came out of the boiler room. When they picked those huge smokestacks up and laid them on the dock, they crumbled into piles. Literally. They couldn't understand those great smokestacks that for two or three decades had been there in use. What in the world has happened? And when they got to investigating, when they got to looking at it, you know what the problem was? The 3/4-inch steel that had been used to build those smokestacks over time had deteriorated, and the only thing that was holding them up was over 30 coats of paint was all that was holding those smokestacks up. And when the pressure got on and they got out of their place, they could not stand. I'm going to tell you, I've preached enough revivals now. I've watched people, when God begins to deal with them, they come to the altar. They don't really pray through and change who they are. They just put on a new coat of paint, trying to make you believe everything's fixed. I feel like preaching, trying to make you feel like everything's right. But I'm going to tell you, underneath, who are you really? I said, who are you really? When God looks, gets to looking at who me and you are underneath the surface, I wonder, do we match up to what we are outside?
Oh, preacher, but everyone thinks. Yeah, everyone does. But God knows. Oh, I need to preach. Woo, I'm fighting the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen. We cover up. We play. You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see one of them old-fashioned revivals where God got to exposing sin out loud. Remember years ago, we had an old brother at home. His name is Brother Clyde Dawson. He got saved. One day he done something that he knew was not right, and his conscience really smote him, and he got thinking about it, and he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to church tonight, and I'm going to sit on the front pew, and I'm going to act like everything's all right. And I'm not going to act like I've made any kind of stumbling or mistake. And then when the altar call's given, without, I'm just going to go down the altar with everybody else, and I'm going to just pray through about that. But the power of God fell in that service, and old Sister Mary York got the dancing in the spirit. She danced her little Indian dance and spun across the front over to where Brother Clyde was standing, leaned over in his ear and told him what he had done that day, and told him he ought to get in the altar. He said, I didn't pray on the preacher to preach. I didn't wait to just saunter down. You know what we want to do? We don't want to come when the invitation's given. We got so much pride anymore. People will stand there. We'll saunter down the aisle when everybody else does. We'll nonchalantly fall down in the altar when we know deep down in our heart we got things there that God's trying to deal with. I'm preaching to you tonight. If you want to have a revival, we're going to have to deal with who we really are. I said we're going to have to deal with who we really are down inside. Woo!
That's kind of humorous, I think, but there was a deacon in the church, and he was pretty stuck on himself, is a good way to put it. He thought he was really spiritual, just a real spiritual human. He was trying to tell some young boys in a Sunday school class one morning, Brother Hurst, he was trying to talk to them about being a Christian. And he asked this question, and he said, why do people call me a Christian? One of them little boys said, probably because they don't know you. Hello? And I wonder how many in here would God call us a Christian? I didn't say the pastor would. I didn't say our husband or wife would. How many of us would God, who really knows us? Amen. Well, preacher, you don't understand. I go to church on Sunday. Brother, there's a bunch of people that go to church on Sunday. They're not saved. But preacher, I pay my tithes. There's a bunch of people pay their tithes. But I'm going to tell you what God's really wanting. He's wanting somebody that opens up to heaven all the windows of their soul and says, it's not my brother or my sister, but it is me, oh Lord. I am standing in the need of prayer. I need you to change who I really am inside.
We're needing a revival where God changes who we really are. Who are you really? Who are you when there's nobody else around? Huh? Oh, help me preach, Holy Ghost. You know, we used to preach what I'm fixing to say to our young people, and rightfully so, but you know what? It's just as much to our middle-aged and older people now. Who are you when you get in the car and there's nobody but you and the radio? Who are you now? Oh, now it'll get tight and quiet. Who are you when there's nobody but you and the remote control? Oh, God, help me pray. Huh? Who are you when there's nobody else awake in the house but you and the mouse? Huh? Who are you really now? My God, I feel like preaching. Who are you really right now? Now the lights are out. Now there's nobody looking over your shoulder. Now Brother Hurst ain't there. Oh, come on now. Now there's nobody there to censor what you're doing. There's nobody there to tell you, hey, hey. And now who are you really? I felt the Holy Ghost deal with me today. Somebody needs to deal with who they really are. Down in their heart, brother. It's not who I think you are. It's who you really know you are down inside. I'll tell you what'll bring a revival, brother. It's not us shouting over our sin. It's shouting because we got rid of our sin. It's coming to a place of prayer and repentance. Hey! And saying, God, it's me. And I need you to change some things about me. I need you to change some things about my thought life. I need you to change some things about my heart. Hey, 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 hey. It'd surprise you some of the things that come on our platform. Because people ain't really who they say they are. Oh. Oh. Who are you when you're at work and there ain't nobody but you and the secretary? Who are you now? Colombo, Heshili, and I. Andadamohoshedamai. Who are you now? Who are you really, young folks, when it's test time at school and you really didn't study like you should? Who are you now? Ooh. Oh, God. That tree had everything right. The size was right. The height, the limbs, everything looked perfect. But underneath, where you could not see, there was a problem. I don't have a television because I don't think there's anything worth seeing on it. Don't you get tight on me. I just don't think there's anything. You say, well, I watch the religious channel. Then go home and take your shotgun and blow it away. Hello? That's the truth. Well, I watch it for the news. Get you a computer, bless God. But they got this deal. They got this deal that these people, and I think they're fixing to have it. They may have already had it. I don't really keep up. I just seen it in the papers the other day. They give these awards away. They're called Oscars. They give them away to people that are the best actors or the best actresses. You know what I'm talking about? All they need to do is come to the Pentecostal church, and nobody in Hollywood could win anything. They couldn't win nothing. They wouldn't even have a chance because you preach like I'm preaching. We're the greatest actors they are. The preacher preached something that's plowing our row up. We smile at him and nod our head, but all the time we know God is pricking us in our heart, but we're so stinking proud. Oh, God. Hello? We're so proud that we won't let anybody see, you know what, I've really got a problem that I need God to work with. I've seen a lot of things that I feel like could have been avoided is the right word. If some men and women would have had the guts when the Holy Ghost started moving and put his finger on their life to have got up out of the pew and say, I really don't care what everybody thinks, but I'm going to that altar because I need God to deal with something down inside of me. I tried to do better. My God, help me preach. I tried to do better. I tried to straighten up. I can't do it. I need God to get inside of me and do something down in my heart. Oh. When I was walking down that path that night, the Lord asked me that question. Who are you? Really? Not who all the people that you preach to think you are. Huh? Not all the people that pat you on the back and say, boy, Brother Lester, that was a good sermon. I'm going to tell you, I got over that a long time ago. Because if people don't pray, it wasn't a good sermon. Hello? But who are you really? You know what else the Spirit of the Lord said to me that night? He said, you know the way the tree falls? Is the way it's leaning. The tree falls in the direction that it is leaning. And I come to ask you, how are you leaning? Are you leaning toward godliness, or do you lean toward worldliness? Do you fit in better with the church, or do you fit in better with the world? God, help me to preach. Hello? Which way are you leaning? Are your thoughts clean and holy thoughts? Or are your thoughts leaning toward more immoral thoughts? Woo, it's tight in here. Is your conversation pure that comes out of your mouth? Or is it PG or something worse? Hello? Who are you really? I'm telling you, Union Road, we need a revival today that deals with who we really are. Nathaniel Hawthorne, I know this is different preaching than you're used to, probably even out of me. But this is what the Holy Ghost wouldn't let me get away from. Nathaniel Hawthorne said this. He said, no man can wear one face to the world and another face to himself in private without at some point becoming confused about which one is real.
You can't keep on coming to the house of God, putting on a facade like everything is fine, and then leaving and having another. I'm telling you, we're dealing with such spiritual schizophrenia I've never seen the like in my life. The dual personality of who we are when we're in the house of God, and then who we are when we're at town and at the workplace and at the mall. Come on here now. And who are we now? Am I trying to buddy up and fit in with the world? Or do I want everybody to think I'm, come on now. Do I want everybody thinking I fit with that crowd? And then I come to the house of God, fit with this crowd. Brother, that don't work. I said that don't work. We'll either fit in with God or we will not, brother. Who are you really?
Who are you, young person? When mom and dad's gone and there's nobody but you and the DVD player, who are you now? Oh, you say, brother, this ain't floating. Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. Yeah. It's going right where it's supposed to go. And you're sitting there with that look on your face like, what are you talking about? I'm talking about you. I'm talking about where you know you're at and what you know is going on in here and what you know is going on in here. And God is not very far from coming. I remember one night, it was after a church service, we went over to my brother's house. We went over to him and his wife's home, and we were going to have, they was just, the young people had got together and having a pizza party after church. There was quite a few there. We was eating pizza, and this friend of mine came in. He was backslid on God, far away from God. Had been very close to God, but now he was far away. He came in and he sat down across the room from me, and Brother Maggard, I got to talking. We got to talking about God, and I felt the Holy Ghost start rising up in me. And all of a sudden, Brother Hurst, something happened that I've never had happen before or since. It felt like somebody was pouring hot boiling water into the bottom of my stomach. And I felt it start coming up. I felt it start coming up through my esophagus. I didn't know what was fixing to happen. And all of a sudden, it came up through my throat and it hit my mouth and my mouth blew open. And my wife is here to tell you and witness, I've never heard the Holy Ghost speak like that in my life. When my mouth blew open and the Holy Ghost of another world began to talk, this friend of mine turned a backflip in the floor. And a scream of hell rent out of him. And he began to wallow all in the floor as the demons of hell that he would have allowed into his life began to tear him. When he let that first scream out that was unearthly, when that first demon screamed at the power of the Holy Ghost that he felt in that room, everybody's attention was right there. Immediately realizing what was happening and watching him as the devil began to do things with him that the human body is really not capable of doing. Are you listening to me? I jumped to my feet and I said, anybody here that's not really underneath the blood of Jesus, and anybody here that's not really saved, and anybody here that don't really know you're washed in the blood, you need to leave and you need to get out of here right now.
Brother, I'm going to tell you, when the devil's hollering, there ain't nobody hypocrite. And you hear me? Brother, I couldn't believe the people Brother Hurst had headed out the door. They didn't stand around saying, well, it's not me. When they heard the demons of hell screaming, brother, they went to hitting the door and getting in the yard. And they was begging God, you see who they really were and who they had been acting like they was. Are y'all hearing me? Was two different things.
And I wonder what would happen in here tonight if the same thing happened. After that young man was delivered and prayed through and got saved that night, I'll never forget it, Brother Hurst. We were sitting on a fireplace. I turned and looked at him. I called him by name. I'd known him all my life. I said, man, how in the world did you get to this place? Huh? You want me to tell you what he said? How many want to know what he said? I wanted to know because I don't ever want to be in that situation. Hear me? I don't ever want to be there. I wanted to know, how did you get there? You know what he said to me, Brother Hurst? This is what he said. He said, when God would speak to me to do things in the house of God and I resisted. He said, that was the first step. Hello? Who are you really? Can God prompt you to move underneath the Spirit? Does he have to ask you twice? Or does he have to repeat himself over and over again? Who are you really? Are we really sold out to God? Who am I down in here? My God. We'll either have a revival or we'll not have one. It'll all be based on whether we want to deal with who we really are down in here. Every one of us have a satanic, people call it an Adamic nature. I disagree with that. They didn't take on the, you didn't take on, Adam did not take on the spirit of Adam. Adam took on a satanic nature. Every one of us have the ability to be deceptive. Every one of us have the ability to cover. Every one of us have the ability to act like we are something that we're really not. But who are you really? I said, who are you really? There's some of you, tears ought to be running down your face and dripping into your lap because you know who you really are. But they're not, because you don't want anybody to really know who you are. My God. My God. Every head is bowed, nobody's looking around. Every head's bowed. There are some people under the sound of my voice that you are bound by some vices that you have tried in every way humanly possible to get loose from them, and you cannot find a way out. God wants to deliver you right now. I said, God wants to deliver you right now, something you've tried over and over again to get away from, and you can't. Is there anybody that wants to deal with who they really are right now? Nobody's looking. But would you come to this altar and say, God, I want to be loosed now? Man, there ought to be people running to this altar. But we got the act going on right now. Something, you know what? Preacher, everybody thinks I'm spiritual. Everybody thinks I'm it doesn't matter what everybody thinks. What does God know? Every head is bowed. Nobody's looking around. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. You need to worry about you. You. What are you doing? What's going on with you?
This may be the most important altar service of this meeting right here. I've seen them make and break it. Right here. Whether you go forward or go forever backwards. Right here. Is there somebody that'll come? Somebody else? Is there a young person you know things have got a hold of your mind? Is there a married lady in here that you know some things has got in your heart that you know ought not be there? And you want to get loose from that thought process today. Right now. Sir, haven't you struggled with that quite long enough? Isn't it about time you bail out of there and come to this altar and say, God, I tried everything. I can't do anything about it. I'm fixing to say something very straightforward, but there are some people that are lying to the Holy Ghost right here, right now. And that is a dangerous, dangerous thing to lie to the Holy Ghost. You know what's really going on in your heart. You know where you really are. You know you need to move. Oh, but what's my wife going to think? What's my brother? It don't make any difference. It's what does God know about me? What does God know? What does God know? What does God know? Oh, He knows me from the inside out. He knows all about me. What does God know about you? Hey. Church, are you praying right now? I'm not through with this altar call. There's some people that flat need to move. God will deliver you. God will bring you out. God will put roots down. And you'll be able to say with the psalmist David, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, and He set my feet on a rock. I got on a rock somewhere. You come to church, but you don't pray like you should. You come to church, but your dedication is not what it should be. Would you get out of that pew and come to this altar? Would you just admit it? Would you just admit it? The first step to getting help is admitting I gotta have some help. I'm fixing to close this altar call. Is there anybody else that'll get real with God right now? La Rochelle Mani Andadadadadai. Who are you really? I said, who are you really? We've got a wonderful group of people sitting under the sound of my voice that have not come, indicating to me that they are in the spiritual place that they need to be in their life. And I'm so thankful that you are. This message is not to everybody, but now I want you to come and find somebody to pray with. Everybody in the house, come on, find somebody to pray with. There's work that needs to be done around these altars. I don't need to kneel down and lay hands on somebody and say, I wonder what their problem is. That's not what I need to do. What I need to do is come and say, God, hey God, I don't know what their need is. I don't know what their problem is, but I know this. They need God to do something. They need a work to happen in their life. They need something to change in their heart. Oh!
Search me, oh God.
Come on, church, we need to lift our voice.
We need to lift our voice. I'm telling you right now, we need to lift our voice. We need to have an altar service. Union Road, you may not realize how bad we need to have an altar service, but we need to have an altar service where some people have God reach into their heart and pluck out some things that they've struggled with quite long enough. It'll cause them to have a revival like they've never experienced in their
thoughts. I pray, see if there be some wicked way. From every sin and sin.